The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Hallelujah. That gives us something to look forward to. It gives us the assurance that death is not the end of us when these bodies of ours die. That we will live on in the presence of the Lord. And that these bodies of ours, which will be laid to rest in the grave and will decompose into dust, will most certainly be raised up just as Christ himself was raised in the body. And this is no fairy tale. This is the truth. The truth declared in God's holy word. The truth that we have entered into by the grace of God in our baptism into Jesus' death. The truth that we have been raised to newness of life in Christ through holy baptism, and we now live as a people with a hope. And that hope, the certainty of that hope, provides us with strength in this fallen world. I'm sure every one of you has read various fairy tales. And you know how fairy tales end. That last sentence in so many fairy tales, after the protagonists have gone through so much, after they have experienced heartache and uncertainty and fear, seems like a wedding just about always occurs in one of these fairy tales. And the fairy tale concludes with this sentence, "And they all lived happily ever after." They all lived happily ever after. The common girl is beloved by a prince and becomes a princess. He takes her to himself. He lifts her up from her woes, her poor condition. She is clothed in the finest of garments. She is adorned with jewelry, gold and silver and pearls and diamonds. And they all lived happily ever after. Somehow that sentence, "they all lived happily ever after," seems kind of unreal to me. Because the truth is that one morning, the prince was kind of irritable and he snapped at his beloved bride. Or she gave him the silent treatment because he did something, he doesn't even know what it was, and she's mad at him. Or maybe they lose a child in childbirth. Maybe one of them goes through an awful illness and is on the verge of death. And there is fear and sorrow. Happily ever after is not to be found in this world. And if anyone thinks it is, they are either too young, too naive to know better, or they are a fool. Because this world is full of sorrow and trouble and affliction. Even the best of marriages have their up times and their down times. That's why we promise in sickness and in health for better or for worse, for richer or for poor. Because affliction and sorrow and pain and suffering and death are no stranger to us in this world. So if you look at a fairy tale as something literal, something really true to life in this world, you're wasting your time reading it. But let's say a fairy tale is viewed allegorically. Let's say a fairy tale describes something not to be found in this world, but something to be found in another world. That's what today's reading from Revelation speaks of, and it is no fairy tale. It is a vision granted to St. John the theologian / evangelist. And here, in today's reading, we have the summing up of all things, the consummation of God's plan of redemption, which he promised to Adam and Eve in the garden after the sin of eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When he said that the seed of the woman was coming who would crush the serpent's head. Here's the fulfillment of that promise. John writes, he saw a new heaven and a new earth. And this isn't like you go out and buy a new car or you buy a new TV or anything like that. This is a newness of quality. It's something similar to the present order of things. There is continuity, yet it is entirely new in quality. Like when you were married, you entered into a new life. Well, here at the great wedding feast of the Lamb, we have this newness of life, a newness of quality. Why is that? Because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. The first heaven and the first earth, well, we live in those right now. You know, where there are bad things that happen, like shootings in a school or a bombing at the Boston Marathon, or explosions in industrial plants, or natural disasters, sickness, sorrow, loss, pain, hurt feelings, broken relationships. All these are part of the first heaven and the first earth. And it goes back to the original broken relationship when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's commandment, and they took of the fruit of the tree and ate. There, death entered into the world. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die, God had told Adam, and Adam had told Eve. And the serpent contradicted God by saying, "You shall not surely die." The serpent, the devil, is always a liar. And he will lie to your sinful nature to draw you out of the path of truth and life. And so, with this sin, broken relationships enter into the world. The unity of body and soul is broken because that's what happens at death. The body dies. The soul lives on. That unity was intended by God. Death was not to be a part of life in his good creation, but because of sin, death is a part of life. There is brokenness, fracture, disunity within ourselves because of sin. Part of us wants to do one thing. Part of us wants to do another thing. We know the good, and yet we fail to do it. We experience mental difficulties, emotional problems, psychiatric disorders. Again, it goes back to Adam and Eve's sin. The unity between husband and wife that God intended in this one flesh relationship is likewise broken. If it were not, husbands and wives would never quarrel. Can you imagine that? Never a harsh word, never a petulant act, but always love and concern and tenderness and respect. 100% of the time. And yet, we do have fractured marriages that are constantly needing the grace of God to be repaired and to be put back together. That is the reality of life in a fallen world. And as we know, sometimes marriages, which God intends for a lifetime, are broken by divorce. Again, broken relationships. And it all goes back to the most important relationship of all that was broken by Adam and Eve's sin. Their relationship with God. Our relationship with God. We are fallen, distorted caricatures of what God intended us to be. We flee from God. We flee from His law when it accuses us. Preachers who preach the law and the law impact someone are liable to become a target because someone will think the preacher is singling them out when it's the accusation of God's law singling them out. We want to live life our own way instead of God's way. We want to write our own commandments that we follow and ignore God's 10 commandments. We invent new standards of morality, new standards of sexual behavior that become the norm, and we in the church are influenced by the world's standards instead of listening to God and His Word. And this is all symptomatic of the brokenness of our relationship with God. And this is why there can never be happily ever after in this fallen, sinful world. But happily ever after is here in the epistle reading for today, because we have a glimpse in John's words of the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know how it is at weddings and churches? The groom, the officiant, the groomsmen will all be standing up front waiting for that special music to begin and the doors to open up. And there is the bride, dressed in radiant garments, ready to process down the aisle to be joined to her groom in holy matrimony. In Revelation, it's kind of different. The holy city comes down out of heaven from God. And you and I, in this congregation, we are all part of that holy city. God has established His holy city among us through the preaching of Christ crucified and resurrected, through His Word, through His sacraments. The holy city comes from God, and by His grace, our citizenship is in that city. And our focus is upon heaven, where our Savior is, and who is coming to us one day. John writes, he heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God." That fracturedness of relationship in the Garden of Eden, that brokenness of the relationship with God, will be a thing of the past, because in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their sins against them. In Christ, God has begun His work of a new creation, for as Paul writes, "All who are in Christ are a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away and the new has come." And God dwells with you, His people, in this place through the means of grace. You don't come up to the altar or receive Christ's body and blood there in the front pews, just as some empty ritual. This is God coming to you in, with, and under the bread and wine, coming to you with the gift of His body and His blood, because He has made peace with you in Christ. And you are His. And God dwells with you. And one day, one glorious day, you shall dwell with Him. And that's when the happily ever after begins. And that happily ever after is eternal. For as John writes, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When's the last time you shed tears or felt like crying? One day, one wonderful day, no need for tears, because death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. All the bad things that are the product of sin that make happily ever after in this world impossible. But those former things will have passed away. That is the promise. I look around and I see a goodly number of people who have family members at whose funerals I officiated. I was able to walk with you through that grieving process, that process of loss, not with any goodness I have within me, any comfort I have, but with the Word of God and the promises of God. But you know what? Your loved ones who died in Christ, they're experiencing this even now. For them, death is no more. Mourning is no more. Crying, pain is no more. All things are made new. He is making all things new for you. And He tells you, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. That means you can say amen to them with confidence. And then today's reading concludes, it is done, it is finished, it is accomplished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. I am the beginning and the end, and I encompass all things even in the middle. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. I may charge you $250 to become a member in this congregation. No, I don't do that. But God doesn't charge you a thing for the water of life. Christ paid the price. Christ Himself is the water of life. And this is the heritage of those who conquer, those who persevere in the faith. They have God's promise. He will be their God, and they will be His son. It's already been done for you now in this world. It's what your baptism means. That's what the preaching of the Word of God assures you of through the forgiveness of sins the gospel brings. That's what the Holy Supper promises to you, so that you can look forward in faith to the real happily ever after. The one that is ceaseless and eternal and unending, accomplished for you and for all of God's people by Christ your Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.